We're back on Rutherford Issues. I'm Brian Barrett, and we have Tanya J. Powers contributing to the program today with a segment about tornadoes. Are they really deadlier in parts of Tennessee than the rest of the United States? Let's find out now. Tanya?
Today we're talking about severe weather, something Tennessee usually sees a good bit of this time of the year. I'm talking with meteorologist Eric Procius about severe weather, especially tornadoes. Turns out our area of the country has a new nickname.
This area of the country is what has become known as Dixie Alley, which is kind of an offshoot of the more widely known Tornado Alley. But believe it or not, Dixie Alley is an area where the most fatalities occur of anywhere in the United States from tornadoes. And there are a lot of reasons for that. Some of those at top of mind are that the area around here, we've got a lot of hills, a lot of trees, and so unlike the plains, these tornadoes can appear basically seemingly out of nowhere. Because of all the hills and trees, you just can't see them at a long distance away like you can in the plains. We also have a very problematic event here with nighttime events, or we have many more nighttime tornadoes than they do in the plains. And so not only can you not see the tornadoes coming because of the topography, but then you also throw in the fact that when they come at night, you just can't see them until they're there. And even if you could, we also are close to the Gulf of Mexico. And so a lot of our tornadoes are what are called rain wrapped, which means that you have rain sheets occurring around the outsides of these of the funnels. And so they are, again, very hard to see, unlike in the plains. So a lot of those reasons all kind of come together. And then as far as the fatalities in this area are concerned, one of the chief concerns with that is the fact that we have a preponderance of structures that are not built suitably to withstand a lot of these, even mild, what you might call a mild event, an F1 or an F2 tornado. Mobile homes are 20 times more, you are 20 times more likely to die in a mobile home than you are in a stick-built or a framed structure, just because they cannot withstand the winds of even the weakest tornadoes.
That is a stunning number. Even I didn't realize it was that high. Let's go back to something. I want to ask you something about what you said just a second ago about the nighttime tornadoes. Why? Because it's not my imagination, is it? It seems like they always strike our area at night. Why is that?
Well, we have just because we have the proximity to the Gulf, so we've got moisture that's in place 24 hours a day ahead of these storms. They tend to feed off of the energy during the afternoon hours when these storms really start getting stronger, and then they just continue even into the early evening and up through the midnight hour, so where the storms still have the intensity that they gather during the late afternoon when you might have had some sun out and you had the moisture around. So those things just kind of tend to stay together longer at night in this region of the country than they might in other regions.
I really always thought it was just my imagination and that we always managed to get an inordinate amount at night, but there isn't a meteorological reason for that.
Yeah, and it's been statistically proven by looking at the tornadoes that have occurred and the times of days that they have occurred in this portion of the country versus others, that this area of the country is more prone to events after dark, and not necessarily just in the wee hours of the morning, but the sun goes down at 7 or 8 o'clock in the late spring and early summer. Those tornadoes that come at 10 o'clock at night, you can't see them.
And you mentioned the rain-wrapped part of this, and I know from going through the storm spotter school that rain-wrapped is definitely difficult to tell because it is wrapped in rain and just looks like a big thunderstorm, and you can't see what's inside it.
Right, exactly. And when you're looking out at a distance, if you're able to get a view out from a little ways away, it really does look like just a whole lot of rain coming straight down. And the tornado a lot of times is buried in that. So you're looking, you can't look through the rain to be able to see the circulating winds. And with some of the strongest tornadoes, there's been cases where, for instance, in Tuscaloosa, where people have driven up and gotten way, way too close to these tornadoes because they see what looks like just a wall of water in front of them that may be a mile or a mile and a half wide, and it, as it turns out, that's actually the tornado itself.
Oh, wow. That's just, and it's frightening from, especially living through these things and these warnings and stuff. And I know a lot of people complain about the sirens, especially if there's no immediate danger in your area. And a lot of people have a big misconception about how the sirens work. They go off countywide, right?
That's correct. Yes. The sirens are set, at least for Shelby County and in most of the counties around us, the sirens are set to go off countywide whenever any part of the county is under a warning. And the other misconception that people just don't understand with these outdoor warning sirens is that is what they are called. They are not tornado sirens. They are outdoor warning sirens, and they are designed to be heard outdoors. So when people complain that, well, I can't hear the tornado siren inside my house or when I'm asleep, that's not what they're designed for. They're designed to warn people if they're outdoors to get inside and get more information and take cover. It's assumed that when you're inside that you will have other devices such as a weather radio or a smartphone app or just local television coverage to keep you informed.
The weather radios cannot be stressed enough that these things are important. I know a lot of people always complain and they say, well, that thing goes off all the time. Well, isn't that, that's kind of the point though, right?
That's exactly the point. Yeah. And there's some new technology that's going to be coming to weather radios here in the next few years. Right now, they also go off for an entire county. But the Weather Service is working diligently to move that into the 21st century as well and sound those on a sub-county basis. Really the technology these days though is, the weather radios are great, and they will wake you up at night and get you to a television or a radio where you can get more information. But smartphone apps these days, there's so many people that have those, and the smartphones where they can warn just your specific location, and that's where the new technology is going.
Now let's talk about that for a minute, because I know you are behind the StormWatch Plus app on the MemphisWeather.net app, and it will do exactly that. You can program it to tell you about your street and your area.
Yeah, StormWatch Plus is in the MemphisWeather.net app right now. We have it out for Android and iPhone. And what that does is it allows you to put in your location either using the GPS location of your phone, or you can put in your street address or a zip code. And it will then just basically, you just set that and then you just let it run in the background. You don't have to go back and look at it anymore. But if there is a warning or a watch that is issued for that specific location, you will get a push notification on your phone and an audio alert that will wake you up at night if you have it, you know, sitting on your nightstand and you don't silence your phone. It will alert you if your location is under a watch or warning.
This is, I know you mentioned smartphones and how technology is really pinpointing exactly what's going on. And we've talked before about nowcasting, which is another great, you know, kind of arm or function of social media that we're using. And tell me a little bit about, let's recap about what nowcasting does.
Sure. Yeah, nowcasting is basically very short-term forecasting. A forecast is, you know, information that will tell you what it's going to be doing generally today and out to the next 7 days. Nowcasting takes that a step further, and is particularly useful during severe weather and even during winter weather events, although that's kind of passed us by for this year. But during severe weather, MemphisWeather.net uses social media, Facebook and Twitter, to broadcast to our followers where specific storms are, what areas are going to be affected, what the threats are, and sometimes, most importantly, when those storms are going to be gone, because a lot of people really want to know when they're going to be gone as well. But we stay on top of the storms using radar applications and so forth to just inform the public of what the threat is, when it's going to be there, and when it's going to clear, and really provides a hyper-local type of nowcast or short-term forecast to those that are following along.
And it amazes me how many more businesses these days are using forecasters. Obviously, companies like FedEx and the airport and things like that have to have them because they've got flights going in and out and that sort of stuff. But other businesses are now turning toward getting their own kind of personalized forecasting as well, aren't they?
Yeah, it's really the private meteorologist is a growing field, and what that is all about is just providing very specific information tailored to the needs of that business. So, you know, where aviation company like FedEx is looking for specific information relative to their flights and the operations in and out of the airport. Some other businesses may be affected by other types of weather, whether it's high winds or even if it's just rain. There's seasonal businesses and construction companies and so forth that are affected even when a rain shower is going to be passing over if they're pouring concrete. So everybody has their own needs, and that's where the private meteorologist can come in and kind of fill those needs and take over from, where the Weather Service or other agencies kind of leave off.
We've come a long way since weather was only on the TV at 5 and 10 in the evening.
Absolutely. No, weather is one of those, it's 24/7. It went that way with the advent of the Weather Channel many, many years ago. But with social media, there's no more waiting around until the newscast comes on at 5 o'clock or, the 5:13 3-minute news broadcast that the local TV guide provides for you.
I've been talking with Eric Procius, who is a meteorologist, about severe weather, which usually happens in Tennessee around this time of year.
Tanya J. Powers, thanks so very much. Contributor to Rutherford Issues today about tornadoes. We'll be right back with more conversation here on the show in just a moment. Hope you'll stay with us on this Monday.